today and for the rest of the summer.
Right, good.
Thanks, Mark.
Mark Wall there. Break now for the news. Robbie Slater's up next. Brad Fittler as well. And taking your calls on 1353 53.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has called the re-election of Deputy Leader Barnaby Joyce a major win for the government.
It is a demonstration of the strength of the coalition.
Mr Joyce secured more than 60% of the vote in the New England seat. SES volunteers have responded to more than 2,700 calls for assistance in Victoria since Friday, with flood warnings remaining in place across the northeast, even as rainfall continues to ease. A severe weather warning, which had been in place for the state's northeast and southern areas, including Melbourne, was cancelled just after 5 a.m. this morning. Some flooding is still expected in the coming days as water moves down through the waterways into low-lying areas. In Tasmania, heavy rainfalls in the east and southeast is making for treacherous driving conditions, particularly in St Helens, Swansea, Bishanoe, Orford, Scamander and Dodgers Ferry. A small rock slide has occurred on Nichols Rivulet Road, halfway between Oyster Cove and Nichols Rivulet. Still in Tasmania, and Glenorchy police have released CCTV footage of a man wanted over a robbery of a KFC on Main Road, Derwent Park. The man is described as in his 40s, approximately 179 centimetres tall, with solid build, short goatee, light brown short hair, and wearing blue jeans, black cap and a black t-shirt. In WA, over 22 hectares have been burnt in a bushfire in Glen Iris and Picton East near Bunbury. Firefighters were able to contain the blaze, which began near the intersection of Sutherland Way and Giorgio Road in Picton East. Meanwhile, a severe fire danger rating has been forecast for the Pilbara region, including parts of East Pilbara, Port Hedland and Ashburton. Deteriorating flying conditions have again forced the cancellation of several flights from Bali, leaving thousands of Australians still stranded on the island after the eruption of Mount Agung. Jetstar cancelled all today's flights departing before 4 p.m. and Qantas cancelled tonight's flight from Denpasar to Sydney. Virgin was forced to cancel its 3 scheduled recovery flights yesterday after conditions significantly deteriorated. Sir Paul McCartney has helped a Perth man propose to his girlfriend 10 years after the couple met on a Kentucky tour and bonded over their love of the Beatles. Martin held up a sign at the Rock Icons concert last night and was brought to the stage during the encore to pop the question to Sayer, with McCartney instructing him to get down on one knee. He then signed Sayer's Beatles jacket and joked, "It's going straight up on eBay." The Englishman's set ran for more than 3 hours and included many Beatles and Wings hits. A small earthquake has been detected near North Korea's underground nuclear test site, the fourth since September's atomic explosion. The BBC's Michael Bristow has more.
The earthquake measured just 2.5, but there's been a series of them in the last few months. The first only 8 minutes after North Korea's last nuclear test, its sixth and largest. Scientists believe the quakes could be the result of constant nuclear explosions, damaging surrounding rock at the underground location. The last detonation caused a series of landslides at Mount Mantap. Chinese scientists fear the mountain could collapse, releasing radiation. But experts believe North Korea is unlikely to abandon the site.
Also in news, it's been 25 years since the first text message was sent to a mobile phone. This is Air News. Both teams had to take on some difficult conditions with the opening of the first day-night Ashes test, producing a close contest, as Air Sport's Graham Davis reports.
Having been asked to bat, Australia fought hard through rain-affected play to be 4 for 209 at stumps, with Hanscom on 36 and Marsh 20. Bancroft was run out by Wokes for 10 after a mix-up with Warner, who was caught behind for 47. Khawaja played a loose shot off Anderson in the first over after the dinner break and was well held by Vince for 50. And then Overton on debut took his first test wicket when he bowled Smith for 40. It will be Australia, though, that will be more satisfied with the final outcome. Graham Davis in Adelaide for Air Sports.
Also in sport, an exasperated Andrew Gaze has pleaded with the NBL for more transparency in the way the games are being refereed following his Sydney Kings 10th loss of the season. The Kings coach wasn't happy with several calls made against his side in their 80-71 loss to Cairns Taipans. Quade Cooper's stint at Queensland Reds looks to have ended after he was reportedly told he's no longer part of the club's plans. The 29-year-old fly half was expected to report back for training at the Super Rugby outfit on Monday, but has been informed by new coach Brad Thorne he probably won't be involved in the forthcoming campaign. Finally, the Kangaroos have defended their Rugby League World Cup crown with a tense 6-0 shutout win over England. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Chardonnay. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The Northern Beaches Beeline Bus Service provides a more frequent and reliable service 7 days a week from 4:30 a.m. till 12:30 a.m. Make a beeline to transportnsw.info. In the city, we've got a crash on Harbour Street at Liverpool Street. One northbound lane is closed. In Chatswood, there's an unidentified hazard on Victoria Avenue between Penshurst and High Street. It's affecting traffic in all directions. And in Rushcutters Bay, look out for an accident on Craig End Street at Neild Avenue. Don't spend this summer tossing and turning all night. Get a Panasonic air conditioner to keep you cool. Think summer, think cool, think Panasonic air conditioning. Visit panasonic.com.au. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The new Mesquite Chicken Sub from Subway packs a smoky Mexican punch, made with 100% chicken breast tenders. Get into Subway now and try the new Mesquite Chicken Sub. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Race into summer at the Brook. The MRS Services Muswellbrook Gold Cup this Friday. A Racing New South Wales showcase event featuring the $100,000 Gold Cup, the Upper Hunters' premier social event this summer. There'll be colts galore and fillies to adore. Get to Muswellbrook for quality country racing, relaxed summer style. Muswellbrook Cup Day this Friday. Get your tickets at muswellbrookraceclub.com.au.
The world's finest thoroughbreds will descend on Hong Kong for the year-ending championships of racing.
And Morris, what a champion, wins the cup.
Don't miss the Hong Kong International Races live and in stunning HD, Sunday, December 10, only on Sky Thoroughbred Central.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sunny morning, cloudy periods increasing in the afternoon and evening. Winds west to northwesterly 15 to 20 kilometres an hour, shifting southeasterly 15 to 25 kilometres in the afternoon. Mostly sunny, maximum of 26 degrees. Now, Raymond, what about the current temperature at Narrabeen and the temperature for today at Newcastle?
Current temperature in Narrabeen is 20.5 degrees Celsius, heading for a top temperature of 26. Newcastle, races are on up there today. Similar to Sydney, lovely day, mostly sunny, heading for a top temperature of 26.
Joyce with the outswinger, and he's got it! Jackson Irvine! He nearly scored in Tehran. He has scored in Sydney. The first international goal for the young midfielder.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It is the final hour. We're looking forward to it. Robbie Slater, to go through this World Cup draw. Now, let's just go through it again. Australia have been grouped in Group C, Peru, Denmark, France. We've automatically got ourselves through. By the way, it's a $4 chance.
Our good friend Trent was listening. $4 to get through that the group stage.
Mm-hmm. So France, $6.50 to win the tournament. Denmark, this is all at tab.com.au, of course. Denmark, $101 to win it. Mm-hmm. Peru, $151. And we're going, oh, how good's Peru? We've got them. So we'll take the win there against Peru. But we've actually been assessed at $201 to win the tournament.
Whichever way you look at it, Jim, it's a tough ask. But it's doable. They can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll speak to Robbie Slater about that. Brad mm-hmm. Fittler. We'll have a chat to Freddie about what he thought of the Rugby League World Cup final. I thought he's... plans for the New South Wales Blues, brand new sponsor that they got during the course of the week. What about that bungle with the Queensland Rugby League? Did you see that?
What was that?
They sold their major sponsorship for $80,000 a year. That's the report. Oof. It's $1 million property anyway. They stuffed that one up. Now let's hope that's a trend that continues. Trent Lansdale is on the ball, of course, telling us that it's $4 Australia to get through from the group stage. We'll have a chat with him from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster from Steve Foster & Sons Quality Cars. And, of course, we're taking your calls on 13 53 53. There is still a chance for you to win 4 centreline seats for the Wanderers versus Sydney FC game. It's a double header.
Double header.
It's at ANZ Stadium. And it's next Saturday, December 9th. Great tickets. So thank you to Arthur and the team out there at ANZ Stadium who supplied us with those tickets, despite the fact that you say those things about him. Arthur's still been able to come through with those
great
tickets.
Great seats too. Have you been to the centreline seats? Watch your game?
What a surprise. I haven't, Ray, but let me guess, you and Tanya have. Just out of interest, where did you sit? You went to the kitchen. No, I'm
not. Shouldn't have brought that up. All I'm saying is they're great seats, great viewing platform.
As I said, I wouldn't know.
There's a nice bar behind you.
Do they get vouchers for it as well, the bar? No, you don't pay.
Can I answer that question? It's a loaded question, isn't it?
That's a yes. Just out of interest, the seats that you had on Thursday night for the Kings game. Yeah,
very good viewing platform again. Yeah.
I swear to God, if there's one Australian couple that could chaperone Harry and Megan around when they're here for the Everest next year, it's you and Tanya. Tanya with a great love of English history and the monarchy, and you as a man about town and said, look, Harry, if you're struggling for tickets, I can help you out.
Got no idea, Jimmy.
You imagine Harry with me dragging around town? Yeah, so we're going to get out of Australia like now.
I wonder if Harry likes Crown Lager as much as you do. We could find out.
The Kings was a good night, though. You've got to come one night.
I've been to a Kings game. How long ago? Well, Josh Childress was playing.
Andrew Gaze, he's amazing. He's lost weight, Andrew Gaze. That
stress?
Job is, hate to say it, but and then they've gone to Cairns and got beaten.
Yeah, so result again. Yeah. How'd Jerome Randall play?
Look, he got fit. He played well in the last quarter, but did a lot of turnovers, especially in the first three quarters.
Did he? Okay.
But the Kings looked good on Thursday night. Didn't look good last night.
Here's another one for our talk topic today. And remember, that's how you win those four centreline tickets. This comes in from Don from Carlton, and it's actually a good one, so I'm as surprised as anyone. Jeff Harding, Dennis Andre's trilogy, three absolute wars. Hard to beat. Don from Carlton.
Very, very good point.
That is a very good
great
one.
Great fights, all three of them. So.
Yeah. Pull the chain, Jimmy. Double or nothing over the next couple of weeks. So that'd be four cases.
I couldn't. Jeez, no.
You want to go double or nothing?
All right, if you want to. I don't care. I'm a gambler.
It'll be out of ill-gotten gains anyway. Won't it?
Of course.
Of course. Anyway, I'm not confirming that or denying it at this point, but we'll just have to wait and see.
So but if I've won today, you can't win. Is that how it works?
Double or nothing.
Next 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Double or nothing. Yeah. Right. Well, we'll see. We'll go through that. Probably off air. Probably the best to do that. 1353 53, the open line number. On air, we're going to have our football update, and it comes with this man, Robbie Slater. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, troops.
Good morning, Robbie.
All right. France, Denmark, Peru, Australia.
Yes.
We've got us going through no problem after the group.
Yeah, I know. But the problem is, you know what the problem is? Well, France, Peru and Denmark, they're all going through no problem as well, isn't it?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those kind of draws. I think France would be delighted. Although wary, because they know what's going on, of course, but they're out-and-out favourites. You look at their side, they're one of the favourites at the tournament.
Yeah.
But Denmark and Peru are doable, but they'll be saying the same things about us. You know, Denmark was superb against Ireland in the playoff. They came second. They finished on 20 points, 5 points behind their group winners, Poland, who are a very good side. Obviously, they've got a couple of young players. The standout being Tottenham star Eriksen, who are playing very well. And Tottenham aren't going very well at the moment. But it's doable for us. Peru are the unknown in some respects, and what I mean by the unknown, we know they think but they're the typical South American player, mate. If they're on, they're on. If they're off, they're off.
Yep.
So if you get them on a bad day, you know, they can be electric. But look, it's a group that whoever our coach is going to be, we'll look at and say, okay, we've got a chance here.
Am I being overly optimistic by looking at the half four, as I always do, Robbie, and saying France often are slow starters in major tournaments?
Yeah.
Could we get away with a draw?
Well, that's it, and I think you get them at a good time.
Yeah.
And you could, because, you know, there's a fear of losing the first game, and it's also
absolutely
warming into the tournament. Look, we know they've got fantastic players. Superstars in Griezmann, Pogba, you know, Conte from Chelsea, Lacazette from Arsenal, Koscielny from Arsenal. It's truly Lloris.
World-class team. Yeah.
They are a world-class team that are expecting to go at least to the semi-final in this tournament. And, you know, I know them well. I know their coach very well. Didier Deschamps played against him many, many times. His team, you know, it's a little bit like him. He was a fantastic player. He was a number six, a screen midfielder. He won the World Cup in 98 with France in the Euros in 2000.
Wow.
Captained his country. It's a tough player. And his team are like that. They are technical, superb players, but they are physical as well. So they're almost a complete side. They were very disappointed they didn't beat Portugal in the final of the Euros. Obviously, they hosted the last Euro Championships. So that's a tough call. But the other ones are ones we can do. But if we can, as you said, you know, just jag a draw in that first game, or even if we lose, we have to lose heavily as we did in South Africa, which basically eliminated the first game, we could go on and do something. But look, let's be honest, we're the underdogs, but we kind of like to be.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. We've worked with that previously. Now, how do we prepare ourselves for a World Cup? I guess we've got to find a manager first up.
And that'll be a good start.
And then who do we start to think about having games against?
You can only go on the international windows. The next one is March. There's only two before the next World Cup. Of course, you'll meet well in advance of the World Cup and you have a couple of warm-up games there. Mm. But first and foremost, we must choose the manager. You know, once we get all the board mess sorted out and we can finally move on. And then it's about monitoring play. And players, about keeping themselves fit. And what I mean by fit, we know they're fit. But I'm saying not getting injured. And that's always a worry leading up to a World Cup.
Sure.
You think if key players get injured, which is, very, very possible. And there's a long list of, superstar players who have missed World Cups through injury.
Well, we've had the news during the week, didn't we, Robbie, that Milo Jednak's got a shoulder injury, which probably keeps him off the park for 3 months. He might be back for that March international.
Yeah,
but,
no chance. Yeah. I doubt it. You know,
does that impact the preparation much, Robbie?
Well, of course it does, because he's come off a long layoff.
Yeah.
You know, basically, the game against the two games against Honduras were his first since the Confederation Cup back in June.
And what a difference he made.
This will be another long layoff. So, it's... Okay, we might say he's a bit older, 33 now, he might do the world of good, but no, I'm of the belief as you get older, you need to be training every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In some ways, harder, but smarter.
Yeah.
So they say 1 month, maybe. They say 3 months. I reckon it's a 3 month, and they're not even sure if it's longer than that.
Gee, it's a worry.
He's falling apart at the seams.
Yeah, it's a worry. Yeah.
Poor old Billy.
Well, he did enough to get him there.
I think the shoulders, it might be carrying that beard around, a bit of weight on those shoulders as well.
I always felt he would have been a great extra in Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Wouldn't he? Fantastic. All right, let's have a look at some A-League. Wellington v Melbourne Victory. Gee, they need a win too, don't they? Central Coast versus Perth Glory.
Yeah, look, probably four teams all desperately needing a win when you look at the table. Sydney already got a 5-point gap, and they're by far and away the best team in this competition. They weren't at their best in Adelaide, but, they're a machine, and Victory used to be a machine, and they're a machine that's broken at the moment.
Mm.
Tough place to go to. I know Wellington at bottom. Look, I'm tipping Victory, but I'm telling you, it's with no great confidence at all. I just, I look at Victory and I think, surely you can't keep losing, but, we usually say that Wellington's difficult to beat over there. The Mariners wouldn't agree. They beat them 4-1 in Wellington last week. So. Look, I'm going to stick my neck out, bottom of the table class, go for Victory. But that would make it. It's not good in the Hyundai A-League sometimes. Look, it's three away wins already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need your home teams going well. Send their supporters home happy. I'll go for another away win with Victory winning in Wellington, and I'll put the Mariners up against an injury-ravaged Perth Glory. And that's... I tell you, it's an interesting point, pretty boring point for you guys, but sorry, I'll bore you with it.
That's right.
Is that a lot of the clubs are getting a lot of injuries.
Brisbane's
being ravaged by injuries. Perth,
the Wanderers.
The same. And now the Wanderers, two hamstrings yesterday. What is going on?
I was going to ask you quickly, Robbie. Sydney FC weren't at their best, but like great teams, they found a way to win against Adelaide United on Friday night. The Wanderers, we mentioned those injury concerns. The big local derby next weekend.
That's right. Well, they got a long week of soul searching. And the Wanderers were pathetic yesterday. I mean, I know they lost to Rio. They were good for 15 minutes.
Gee,
And Rio went off and should have scored before he went off. after that, they fell in a heap. And it wasn't good enough for their great fans. I mean, it was okay. It was a tough day. It was wet. Mm-hmm. You're at ANZ Stadium with just over 10,000, I think, and you know the atmosphere's not brilliant in that stadium when you don't get a big crowd, as we know. Mm-hmm. But really, the performance was weak. Mm-hmm. It was slow and it was bereft of spirit. And you can't have that. You can't have that. Not when you got fans like that. And you're playing. You've got 90 minutes, and the least you can do. Oh, look, I'm not saying they weren't trying, not at all. But there was a lack of belief in that team yesterday. That's a big job for Josip Gombau to lift them for next week's derby against the Sydney FC. They're absolutely flying.
Just quickly on the EPL, or are you Liverpool fans to puff your chest out? You've had a win 5-1. The problem for that, from an Aussie point of view, is Matt Ryan was in goal.
I thought I was in bloody hell. Yeah. I said, I'm over the moon. And then I go, I hope Matty's not a fault because I haven't seen the game.
No, he wasn't. Most of those goals were just great team goals, Robbie.
Liverpool, this is typical Liverpool. Absolutely terrible start. Puts them out of contention for the title. Going really, really well the last 5 weeks.
Mm.
And they're scoring goals for fun at the moment.
Flamengo
with two. Coutinho again. Barcelona circling, trying to prize him away in January. But fantastic result. And as you said, not a happy day. But, it's not against the Liverpools of the Premier League where they're going to keep their Premier League status. It's against other ones. And talking about other ones, Aaron Moore's Huntsman lost again. So they're a bit on the slide, and Tottenham on the slide. A draw, they haven't won, I think it's about 6 months now. So Chelsea winners, keep in touch. Yeah, but of course, the big game overnight was Arsenal, Manchester United, and it was United. In spite of a red card, they win 3-1 to keep in touch with Manchester City tomorrow.
That game in hand, 5 points difference there between City and Manchester United at the top of the EPL. Rob, we've got to fly, mate. We appreciate that. We'll speak next week.
We will. Nice trips.
Thanks, Rob.
There he is, Robbie Slater, with all his thoughts on the Rugby League World Cup, the Soccer World Cup. We should have asked, what's the group of death?
There wasn't none this year. First time that the cliche can't be used.
We'll just make one up then.
Probably
Australia. 1353. Time now for this.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
A tense and hard-fought 6-0 win for Australia over England last night in Brisbane has seen the Kangaroos defend their Rugby League World Cup crown. A Boyd Cordner try in the 15th minute was the difference, giving Australia its 13th straight win under coach Mal Meninga. The English team, however, were absolutely gutted, reflecting on what might have been. An hour after the match, Cooper Cronk announced it was his last representative game. The champion halfback told Meninga earlier in the week, and Queensland coach Kevin Walters on Friday. Australia retained the women's title as well with a 23-16 victory over New Zealand. For the Gillaroos, tries to Caitlin Moran and Eliana Walton, Isabel Kelly crossed twice. Day two of the second Ashes cricket test at the Adelaide Oval, Australia resumed this afternoon at 4 for 209. At the crease, Peter Hanscom on 36, Sean Marsh will resume on 20. For the England bowlers, wickets to Anderson, Wokes and Overton. Play is underway in the final round of the Australian PGA at Royal Pines on the Gold Coast. Jordan Zunic in the lead at 16 under. Cameron Smith is next at 14 under. Adam Bland minus 13. Mark Leishman and David Branson are at minus 10. Meantime, after two impressive rounds at the Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas, Tiger Woods hasn't fared as well this morning in the third round, shooting a 4 over 75. Woods is the host of the 18-man exhibition event. Charlie Hoffman is in the lead at minus 14, Justin Rose and Jordan Spieth at minus 9, and Woods is at minus 4. Brisbane finally got its A-League season on track by snatching a much-needed 2-0 win off an injury-hit Western Sydney at a win and rain-swept ANZ Stadium yesterday. Melbourne City broke its three-game losing streak with a 2-1 win over Newcastle in Newcastle. Today, Wellington host Melbourne Victory and the Central Coast play Perth. The Australian Women's Rugby Sevens team has won the opening World Series tournament in Dubai, defeating the United States 34-0 in the final. Everton has recorded back-to-back wins for the first time this EPL season, defeating Huddersfield 2-0 overnight. New manager Sam Allardyce, who was appointed to the top job just 4 days ago, says it's onwards and upwards for the club, who sit in 10th spot. In other matches, Chelsea 3, Newcastle 1, Brighton 1, Liverpool 5, Leicester 1-0 over Burnley, Stoke 2, Swansea 1, Watford and Tottenham 1-all, West Brom and Crystal Palace 0-all, and Arsenal 1, Man United 3. A dominant fourth quarter gave Cairns an 82-71 win over Sydney in the NBL match in Cairns. The Kings were without Todd Blanchfield and Perry Ellis, who were both injured in the win on Thursday. They won the match between the two clubs on Thursday night and led at the top of every quarter last night, but still managed to find a way to lose. Fedoro unleashed from the top of the straight to storm home and win the $1 million Winterbottom Stakes at Ascot in Perth last night. For trainer Lloyd Kenilworth, it was his first Group 1 win, and for jockey Joe Bowditch, his second. Still with racing and the all-important barrier draw for the $1.1 million Inter-Dominion Grand Final will be held this afternoon at Gloucester Park in Perth. Quickly, just back to the basketball. We went, as you mentioned before, on Thursday night, that win against...
Yes. How are the seats, Dan? Are they good?
Seats were very good, thank you. They had this...
He's a hard man in
the... He is. I tell you what, we may not have paid for the tickets. We paid for it, though. We had a couple of drinks and a box of chips for $44 or something ridiculous.
Yeah. Are you serious?
It was outrageous. Beers, the prices. Mm. Crazy. Note yourself, have dinner before you leave.
Yeah.
Anyway, but they were teasing us because they had this incredible promotion where when the Cairns players came up for a penalty shot, if they missed both of their shots,
then everybody
in the crowd got a free Hungry Jack's burger.
Are you serious?
True story. Cheeseburger.
Did it happen?
And the roar was amazing.
And it happened?
No, they did sometimes miss the first one.
Right.
And then they'd come up for the second one. But it was a great promotion because I know, like, you not shouldn't be booing people for goodness of sport and whatever.
For a hamburger.
Yeah. But when they came up for the second shot, if they missed the first
noise
one, the crowd went mental. Yeah. It was so good.
Kids were sweating on it.
Yeah.
It was good.
Funny you should mention that. So you can build an atmosphere within a closed environment like that, within a stadium.
It wasn't a huge crowd.
It's not a big crowd. It's not a huge game, but it's a confined space, and you've got a little promotion like that gets people into the game.
They're really good.
I was watching the Channel 7 broadcast of the Australian PGA, which is it was reasonably quiet yesterday, and not much of a crowd there. And gee, it was really good golf, but it's really hard to create atmosphere to come through the television.
It's just.
You look at it, then you think, unless you have a compelling figure like a Tiger Woods that is magnetic, that draws people into it, gee, it's a hard sport for television, golf, do you think?
Well, there's not going to be much...
We like our golf, but it's wrong person asked.
But you have to be quiet out there, so you're not going to get a huge response from the crowd. It's not going to come through to the TV because everyone has to be quiet.
What about when they hit it and they... It's in the hole!
every shot,
that's the Americans.
Yeah, the deep stuff.
Yeah, but... Same for tennis. You have to be quiet in tennis, but you can create an atmosphere there. It's funny with those confined sports.
If you love your sport,
yeah, I understand that. But I'm just saying it was very noticeable because I was obviously watching the cricket at the same time, Adelaide Oval in the afternoon with a full crowd in there, and that atmosphere comes through the television.
Yeah, absolutely. And when there's a free burger on the line.
Oh, do anything.
The sky's the limit.
Thank you, Tan. Appreciate that. 1353 53 is the open line number. Some great nominations coming in with this Australia v England. Morning, boys. Rivalry. Aussie v England. The battle for the world title. Jack Brabham and Stirling Moss.
Both true
champions. Manly Man Owl.
Does this one count? Morning, boys. Rivalry England versus Aussies. Margaret Thatcher on 60 Minutes being questioned by Richard Carlton, and he said there are people talking on the street about how bad your government is, to which she replied, deadpan, who are these people? What are their names? Remember that?
I do remember that. A little tilt to the head, was it?
It was very, very good. And it was clean bowled him. Clean bowled great Richard Carlton.
The other one, just before a break, boys, in the context of England winning an Ashes series for the first time in 20 years, the last few minutes of the 1992nd Rugby Football League Test, I was there. The euphoria of the English supporters and the sunken feelings of the Aussie supporters, which was reversed with Ricky Stewart's run and Mal Meninga's try.
Yes.
Marcus, we mentioned that at the top of the show. What a great sporting contest that was. 13:53:53. I've got a feeling that our next guest was certainly on the tour Just going to check whether he was in the game.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Brad Freddie Fittler next.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
All they want for Christmas is at Bingley. Check out the latest catalogue, jam-packed with the greatest gift ideas. All they want for Christmas is at Bingley. Shop now, in-store, or at bingley.com.au.
Back it comes to Clement. Clement delays the ball. Reynolds attacks the line. He's there. This might be the point for this. He gets it down. That's a try. They score finally.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Appreciate your company. 1353 53 is the open line number. Right now, we still have those four centreline seats to ANZ Stadium for the Wanderers v Sydney FC doubleheader, Saturday, December 9. Be a cracker too.
Oh, almost
looking for that. Sydney
much a full house, wouldn't it?
ANZ Stadium holds 82,000.
They'll get 67. They always do.
60,000.
Yes.
You think they'll get 60,000
yes,
there?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm. So these are sought after tickets. So you need to tell us your best Australia v England moment, given the fact we've had an incredible moment last night with the Rugby League World Cup, and of course the Test match that's going on in Adelaide at the moment. One of the guys who's had some outstanding performances in Australia v England moments, including being a youngster on that tour.
Was it 1990?
In 1990, Kangaroo Tour, but I don't think he played in that Test match at Old Trafford, Ricky Stewart. We'll ask him because he's on the line. There's lots to talk about with Brad Fittler. G'day, Fred.
Good morning. No, I didn't play either.
No.
Okay. I've got a story, though, about that game, if you'd like to hear it.
Can you tell it on a Sunday morning? Remember, we're a family program.
Yes, I can. Okay. So what happened, they had a kicking competition. So they had Breno Bodica, Graham Deadman, myself, and I forget the other one, but these absolute gun goal kickers, and they said they needed someone to represent Australia. So I said, okay, I'll do it. Anyway, so we're out in the stadium as the boys were warming up, actually, for a part of it, and we had 6 goal kicks. And so before, I knew I was no chance. And there was actually something like £5,000 for the winner.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually sat down as an 18-year-old and convinced them that we should share it. And I kicked 1 from 6.
Did they agree, Fred?
They agree.
Oh, there you
Too
go.
Smart, you, Fred.
Mate, 18-year-old just pulling strings a little bit.
Too smart. Hey, that game last night, I'm sure you would have watched it. I just thought it was an epic contest. What were your thoughts on that 6-0 win for Australia?
Yeah, outstanding. Really, you know, brutal.
Yeah.
And I thought the ref did a really good job early and just allowed things to flow. And I thought both sides got their shots off. And I thought that made for a great game. I thought our defence was just incredible. And although, you know, England, I think they had 3 chances down there. They threw one over the sideline and come up with 2 errors on early tackle. So,
yeah.
If anything, their execution at the big moment sort of failed, but I thought our defence, you know, was incredible. But, you know, great game and, you know, a really fitting way, I think, to finish the World Cup.
A great World Cup, wasn't it, Fred? Anyone who says international football isn't alive and kicking only has to watch this tournament and particularly that final.
Yeah, obviously the statements by a few of the Tongan boys early really set the scene.
Yep.
I think it'll have a lot of people sit around the table and wonder how we're going to take this forward. Although it also comments from Cameron Smith, I thought were really valid about payments.
Mm.
And, you know, we felt that firsthand for the Lebanon team. So, you know, I think given everyone can sit down and give a little, I think if they can do that, then, you know, it's definitely somewhere we can take to the world. And I think it was funny, like some nations I thought went backwards compared to what they've done in the past.
New Zealand?
While others has improved out of sight. So I think taking that into consideration, we're just going to make sure that if we want to take it forward, we're going to make sure the competitions in those nations are the things we focus on and then just allow the result to happen. And that's the key.
Describe your experience as a coach of Lebanon who had their best World Cup undoubtedly and I think one of those sides that certainly captured the imagination of people, Fred.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I made a lot of friends. I've got some lifelong friends now. And that was sort of, we got that feeling early. You know, they were into what I was talking about and I was into what they were about.
Yeah.
And we all gave a little bit. And it was just an incredible time. You know, the final game to go down by 2 points to Tonga, you know, I think they ran for 700 more metres. We had to save about 5 tries and we had blokes who were sort of full-time builders and part-time footballers taking on the likes of Tau Malolo, Fafitas, Fusatua, who was outstanding, and a few others. So, you know, looking at their bodies and their faces after games, and that was every game, sort of showed you how much can be achieved if you just put in for your teammate. And, you know, to be part of that was pretty extraordinary for me.
Yeah, look, with so many highlights in a fantastic World Cup. And, Freddie, some big news for you, of course. We all know you're taking on the Blues State of Origin coaching role next year. And you made a comment after the appointment which really struck me. You said you regard this as the biggest honour of your footballing career.
Yeah, well, once you've been on all ends of rugby league, I've coached, played, media, you know, a fan. I've been as every part, and you realise how important it is when, you know, it always goes back to Jack Gibson saying about getting your head office in order and getting your coaching staff right. And, you know, for people to walk away and say that I was suitable for the position is a really big honour. So, and, you know, I think everyone realises the announcement that was made today. The most important part for me was to get some people around me, you know, of who I think are, you know, of the highest integrity, and naming Greg Alexander today was the first step. We were real close relationship, pretty much family, and I think everyone knows that watches footy, you know, how much he knows the game, so he's going to be invaluable to me.
We sing his praises on this program. He's been a guest on the program. Great admiration for Greg Alexander. Who else is going to join the team, Fred?
Mate, we're going to make mostly another announcement next week. Just sort of leak them out as we go along, but I think you'll have the same opinion of all the staff we name. And I think that's extremely important for what we want to do with the team, that, you know, they realise there's a lot of thought that's been put into the staff and what they can bring to the table. So that'll be announced next week, I'd say.
What do you want to do with the team? What were your takeouts from being coach at the Roosters? What were your takeouts of being coach of City all those years and of course in Lebanon just recently?
Well, the most important thing is personnel, and that's at all levels. So that's why a lot of thought has to go into the coaching and who I think is the best people for the job. And then also from a playing point of view, the big thing I got out of, you know, watching Australia play is you need players that really play for the jumper, and to do that you've got to play for your own jumper. So that's the one message I'll continually push, that we need the best players in the competition playing for New South Wales. I don't think we've had that for quite a while. So there's a good challenge there for a lot of players, and if they can get themselves to that sort of status, then we'll just help them along, and hopefully New South Wales can be touted now as having some of the best players in the world.
Can't wait for it. Freddie, we were mentioning earlier, life's all about timing, and in some respects, next year's a new era for Queensland. There'll be no Thurston, there'll be no Cooper Cronk. Does that push the door slightly open, or is it just game on again because you are playing Queensland?
Is there no Cronk? I didn't know that.
He announced it late after the game last night. Yeah.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. All red football.
He was very emotional before the game.
He was.
He's been such a classy player for both Australia and Queensland, so that'll be someone, as an Australian fan, we're going to sorely miss. But, given the fact that those blokes have played so much with each other, they're going to have to start coming up with some new combinations, which they've done really brilliantly over the last couple of years.
Well, Morgan's ready to go, isn't he, Fred?
Morgan's ready to go. I think they've got about 4 or 5 ready to go. You look at young Ash Taylor.
Milford, Munster.
Munster, there's plenty. So you've got to say they've done an incredible job with their Origin team and having players flow through, so that's been brilliant. But, we're going to worry about us. You know, we're going to get our bit right, and I think some of the things that flowed out of last camp, and, you know, just as long as players acknowledge that what we're trying to do and the players that we want, and, you know, they'll be picked if they can achieve that with their clubs, and if they don't achieve with their clubs, the luxury I suppose we have now is we have some really good strong players coming through.
Mm-hmm. One of the guys who you talked about being the best players in the competition, one of the guys who's made a name for himself very quickly is a guy named Nathan Cleary. As of next year, he'll be 21 years of age. You played State of Origin as an 18-year-old. Phil Gould, who might be one of those people that you're going to bring into the fold to help with New South Wales, has suggested that he's too young to be playing for New South Wales. Where do you sit with Nathan Cleary? I know we're a long way out.
Well, I suppose one thing important with Nathan Cleary is his partner's going to be James Maloney. So
yeah.
We'll get a good indication of how them two are working together. I think Nathan's, without doubt, his composure, what he shows for his club team. He's obviously still got things to work on in his game, and he acknowledges that. So, you know, it'll come down to how, you know, his relationship with Jimmy and how they work together, and that's going to be for all the halves. That's going to be the real key. It's not so much how they're going, but you've got to be able to work with your halves partner. And when you come into a camp, that's only you've got 10 days to prepare. It's, you know, it's about giving a little, not necessarily taking as much as you can. So,
yeah.
And that's something Nathan Cleary does just naturally.
Mm.
And, you know, if it's not next year or the year after, it'll be very soon. He just looks like one of those blokes from the first game he plays. It's going to be pretty hard to take it off him. So, you know, I don't think I haven't. The hardest thing at the moment is try to stop picking teams because you never know what's going to happen. So, it's the one thing I keep in my mind is, every time I try to pick a team, I just squash it straight away and worry about what's important at the moment.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, don't worry, Fred. You haven't got a team, but you're the favourites to win the series.
Oh, are we?
Same every year, isn't it?
Yeah, $1.70. Queensland, $2.15.
What?
They're gone. They're gone, Queensland.
Mate, how do those gambling outlets make money? Have they not seen the record?
Have you seen what they pay us? We basically do this for free, Fred.
My God. There's one place I won't be investing in.
And good luck with the big merger with Tabcorp and TAB. Hey, Freddie, always great to have you on, mate. Appreciate your insights into that game last night. And, of course, we're looking forward to what comes in the future for New South Wales with you at the helm. Thanks, mate.
Good on you, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Freddie.
Brad Freddie Fittler there, coach of New South Wales. I don't know about you, Ray. You talk about timing. There's something feels right about that.
I love the Fittler Alexander mix.
I can't wait till he's got them all with their shoes off, walking around, touching the grass, feeling the grass on their feet, just like Ron Willie got him to do as a youngster leading into the semi-finals, connecting with the earth. Sounds strange, doesn't it? Fred's onto that. He's onto that. 13.53.
Whatever it takes, Jimmy.
Exactly.
Whatever it takes.
$1.70, New South Wales.
That's ridiculous.
Queensland, $2.15. They're gone!
Warrawee Needy was freakishly fast at 2:149.4. Warrawee Needy was faster still at 3. Warrawee Needy was the fastest horse in the world at 4:146.4. Warrawee Needy was one of the fastest and most exciting pacers of the last decade. Warrawee Needy, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
All they want for Christmas is at Bingley. Check out the latest catalogue, jam-packed with the greatest gift ideas. All they want for Christmas is at Bingley. Shop now, in-store, or at bingley.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the show. Jimmy and Ray, listening to Freddie Fittler, I think New South Wales could be in for some exciting times ahead. It seems to be ticking all the right boxes so far. Cheers, John, from Moorbank. It is, isn't it? Get that feeling.
Yeah, I get frustrated with people on social media or wherever it happens to be, whether they want to call this program or send an SMS in, and they say, why would you get Freddie Fittler on? He's a buffoon, you know? And they see him have fun with his stuff that he does on Channel 9, on the sideline and all of that sort of stuff, and Sunday Footy Show. And people who think that is all that there is to Freddie Fittler don't know Freddie Fittler.
He's an infectious man. And people like being around him. Look at Lebanon. They played for him, didn't they? They played for their jumper. That's what he mentioned there about people having to play for their jumper and play for their teammates.
Exactly. And no one did that more throughout his outstanding career than Brad Fittler.
Remember when in the Blues, when the moment, big moments came, Freddie Fittler stepped up.
He came to the fore. Yep. And I remember... I had the great honour of playing with him in 1996 at the Roosters.
Okay.
The harder it got, the better he trained.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Was he a good trainer?
He was okay.
Yeah.
But when it got hard, that's when he was at his best. And then from what I understand, 2002, 2003, 2004, at the back end of his career, he is the professional's professional. He is first to training. He is last to leave.
Trained harder.
He's prepared himself better than anyone.
As you get older, you've got to train more. Just train smarter.
That's right. Timmy Cahill immediately came to mind when he was talking about that, Robbie Slater. So there you go. Yes, New South Wales are favourites for the State of Origin Series in 2018. If anyone can explain that, it's up to you, Trent Lenscal from tab.com.au. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. And I haven't got much idea either.
Who puts those on?
Well, Freddie just said... that if he was a stockbroker, that Tabcorp and Tats, the merger, he's a sell.
Can you say that on this show?
He did.
What
he said it.
Can you say it?
I can't, but that's what Fred said.
I would say the league bookies are taking into account that Queensland are going to have a few that are retired, and I guess the Blues is their best chance, fellas. You've still got 8 months to debate it, don't worry.
That's true.
And we will. Anyway, cricket, Adelaide, 2 p.m. start. It's like, there's Dream Sundays and then there's Dream Sundays.
This is a Dream Sunday,
Trent.
This is fantastic. The Perth test is always great as well because of the time difference, but there we can just sit back, and they do have to make up the extra half an hour, so that's why it is a 2 o'clock start our time, 1:30 over there in Adelaide. And with the rain interruptions, it was a bit hard with the market yesterday to get a real gauge. I will say that at the start of play, Australia was $1.75, the draw was $6, and England was $3.25. Australia got into a short at $1.45 during the dinner break, and they're now $1.55, the draw at $4.25, and England at $5.25. So Australia is set to resume at 4 for 209. We've got the betting open on Australia's high bat for the first innings. Now, Peter Hanscom, he's not out on 36. He's a $1.87 favourite, which probably isn't a good price for a cricketer. Sean Marsh, 20 not out at $3. Usman Khawaja, who made 53 at $5. And Tim Payne yet to bat at $11. And there's England's high bat for the first innings. Joe Root, the $3.75 favourite. Alistair Cook at $5. Mark Stoneman and James Vince, they're both at $7. And then Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow at $8. So there's day two of the second Ashes test starting at 2 o'clock. So you can bet on that by calling 133-390.
We heard from Mark Waugh earlier. Trent, he set a score of in excess of 300. Up to 350 would put Australia in a very strong position, particularly if we can bowl in that last session tonight under light. So looking forward to today's cricket. Looking forward to the Australian PGA final round. Jordan Zunick shot the lights out yesterday, Trent.
He did, and as Tanya mentioned, it is actually underway, the final round, including the lead. There is some severe weather around Queensland.
Oh, is that why they started early?
They started early because of the weather.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought it forward by 3 hours. So I believe the coverage is on 7-2
until
10 o'clock, and then it will revert to normal 7.
Correct,
yeah.
At present, Jordan Zunick at 16 under and Cameron Smith at 13 under. The last time I checked, that was a couple of minutes ago. They're $2.50 equal favourites. Adam Bland at 14 under, $4.50. And Mark Leishman at 10 under, $12. They're the main four. It's then $51 or better the rest. But then again, this time last week, fellas, Cameron Davis was $51 and as much as $101 heading into that last round of the Australian Open. But as mentioned, Zunick 16 under and Smith 13 under. They're the $2.50 equal favourites. Zunick was $251 before the tournament started, fellas, and had a look this morning. The pre-tournament bets on Zunick, there were punters that had $10 and $1 at $201, and there's bets of $3, $2, and $1 at $251. So you're keeping the fingers crossed there and just hoping to turn coins in the note. And he was as short as $1.45 yesterday when he was perhaps dreaming of $58 or $59, but he's currently the $2.50 equal favourite. As it's in play, do have to call 133-390.
A-League.
A-League fellas, a couple of games. We've got Melbourne Victory, $2.35, even though they're away to Wellington. That's at 2:30. And then Central Coast there, $2.05 when they host Perth in Gosford. That's at 5 o'clock. There's the EPL as well. And, Ray, just get your thoughts on the fifth race at Newcastle today. It's the Max Lees Classic. So it's set to go at 3:15. There was a bet last night of 13,000 at $1.80 on Jonker, who's now a $1.70 favourite. And that horse is currently an $11 equal second favourite for the Magic Millions two-year-old classic, open $26. So there's already been support for Jonker to not only win today, but also in the Magic Millions two-year-old classic. So it could be one to watch out for.
He won a trial
at Broadmeadow.
Yeah, won a trial by Panels recently up there. Trent and the Tippies is a very smart horse, as I think is Pakiri for Gary Moore. But that's a really good race. Great innovation, too, by the Newcastle Jockey Club, recognising the contribution of the late, great Max Lees.
And what's it for? It's a
two-year-old race, $50,000, and it's a good stepping stone into the Magic Millions.
Into the Magic Millions, that's right,
The English Classic, etc. So really well positioned by the club.
Yeah. Hey, Trent, that was actually pretty good from you.
Thank you, guys, and I'm just about to have 2 weeks off, so there you go.
Oh, well done, Trent. Good
going
on,
away?
Yes, going to Perth, the Inter Dominion Grand Final on Friday night. And
so we can still ring you, of course, at about 2:30 in the morning, Saturday morning.
Well, I'll still be up after the Kingston Town Classic on Saturday, right? We'll get that out as well with Blackheart Barton.
Well, you don't get a bet on Saturday night,
Steve. Given some of your personal habits, which we've been privy to with Ray going down to Melbourne, yeah. I mean, nothing would surprise me at this point, Trent.
We'll check out Northbridge and just make it a really long night and then the red eye on Sunday night. So it could be in a delirious state by Monday morning, fellas, but I'm
TMI,
not too, sure
too much information this, I think.
Very good. Good on you, Trent.
Thank you, guys. I'm sure I'll speak to you before Christmas comes around, but obviously, enjoy the next couple of weeks and hope I'll speak to you after that.
For sure. Good
Fantastic.
On you, Trent.
Good
Thanks,
on you,
mate.
Trent. Trent Lenscale there from tab.com.au does a great job. 13:53:53. This bloke, apparently, they're looking at him doing the gig again next year as the spokesperson for Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars.
No one better.
Nothing confirmed as yet, so
no one better, though.
Wonder what young Matty Foster's doing. But anyway,
Bloodless Coup at the top.
Bloodless Coup. Scotty Foster, good morning.
Good morning, boys. I'm happy to step aside, boys, but no one wants to put their hand up.
Are you serious?
I don't know why.
This is a dream gig.
Yeah, I'm only joking.
Good on you, Scotty.
I love doing it Sunday morning.
We love having you, Scotty.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I can't believe it's December already, though. That's another year just about gone.
Amazing,
as you get older, Scotty, the time just slips away, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The older you
certainly
get.
Does.
How many cars do you reckon you've sold from the Big Sports Breakfast weekend in the yard this year?
Well, I reckon we do probably 46 to 48 ads, and I reckon we would have sold probably at least 20 cars to listeners.
There you go.
There you go. That's a pretty good strike rate.
It's one a fortnight, I reckon.
That's good. Yeah.
It is. It's very good.
And if your deals were better, it'd be more.
Oh, now, I'll tell you what, Scotty, we'll pump this one up. We'll pump this one up today. He's a hard man, James, isn't he, Scotty?
Isn't he what?
A long time sponsor, this man.
He's
treated
he
terribly.
Whenever he wants to save some money, Ray, I'm always the first person to
funny about that, Scotty. It
hey, Scotty, it's
me.
Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Hey, I've won the quiz this year. You can go double or nothing. It's already up to two cartons. I never get paid. Be a very dry Christmas coming up, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate. Go to the bottle shop. Yeah.
Well, there's another point. I can't believe we're not sponsored by a bottle shop. But anyway. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, boys, one lucky listener, hopefully they'll drive away in this beautiful 2002 Holden Dual Cab Ute. This will be a great first car for any young apprentice out there. It's automatic. It comes with an aluminium tray. It's got a front bull bar, air conditioning and power steering. It's got the tow pack, and it does have logbooks. It's blue in colour. It looks sensational, and it drives fantastically. I've driven this a few times myself. They just don't come any better than this one. This is an automatic dual cab ute with an aluminium tray. And I have it on special for the listeners today at just $4,990. You just can't buy automatic trayback ute for this price. So don't miss out. Go to the website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, and you'll see how good this ute is. Or give us a call on 96375024. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio, so we can increase our percentage of sales for
us.
That's exactly right. Finance, Scotty?
Yep.
Yes, we've got some great finance packages available at the moment, but we're also helping a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, and now is the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even the Uber drivers, we're selling a lot of cars to people Uber driving now, then go to our website, www.fosterskwalitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024, because we can help you get into a vehicle as soon as today.
Terrific, Scotty. That's a really good car, that Holden Rodeo dual cab ute.
Hey, Ray that's Thomas's eyes cheap. Have lit up for his young bloke here.
That's cheap. Yeah, it's a cheap car, and someone's going to really enjoy that. And I'm sure it's going to go, hopefully, today, and one of the listeners, otherwise someone else will snap it up.
And, Ray, if you go in there, make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio, okay?
Funny about that.
All right. So there, I reckon that's going to pump up our
Did
averages.
Did I mention your name?
Wouldn't have thought
Jimmy
so.
Smith.
I've got a feeling that won't help.
we've got to claw some back from Jimmy. Right?
Exactly,
just
Scotty.
Just go in as yourself, all right?
Okay. Good on you, Scotty.
Great work, Scotty. As always, mate, we'll speak again next week.
All right, boys. See you later.
Thanks, Scotty.
Scotty Foster there from Foster's Quality Cars. Check them out online, fosterskwalitycars.com.au. That number again, 96375024. We say it every week. If they haven't got the car you want, they'll source it for you. They'll do it. A break. Come on, let's get nearly end of the show, Ray. Let's go.
The new Mesquite Chicken Sub from Subway packs a smoky Mexican punch made with 100% chicken breast tenders. Get into Subway now and try the new Mesquite Chicken Sub. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Sun and Cullen, I'm the mighty Quinn, the widest runner. Turning our chain of command leader. Smiling Sharks, Sun and Cullen, I'm the mighty Quinn, out wider. Sun and Cullen hit the lead. Sun and Cullen in front of Smiling Shard and Sun and Cullen. The New Zealander wins the cup.
Sun and Cullen, winner of just under 1.5 million. The richest in entire son of Christian Cullen, winner of four Group 1 races, from a New Zealand Broodmare of the Year, standing at Yerribee Stud. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Looking at you, oh-oh-oh. Yeah, the drums, they swing low, and the trumpets, they go.
There we go.
It's your favourite song, James. Right. You
if that doesn't get you rocking on a Sunday morning, I don't know what will, Ray.
I'll just interject quickly. You had a irate listener ringing up.
Another one?
Yeah. It was George Negus in that famous interview. With
Not Richard Charlton.
Yes.
I can't believe you got that wrong, Ray.
Mm, I do actually love my politics. But
now, just to clarify, it wasn't you that got it wrong. It was a listener who sent him as an SMS.
I should have picked it up, but I didn't.
Well, Jimmy, Freddie is another hobby coach, just like Daly. No name on that one. And I take that point, too. And you get the feeling that, they should be involved in the cut and thrust of NRL, but Mal Meninga...
Mal Meninga, probably the all-time greatest rep coach Australia's had.
Seemed to work out okay for him, didn't it, Ray?
Unbelievable. Lost one series as Queensland coach. Gone 13-0 as a Kangaroo coach. And he brings that... What Mal brings to that teams, Queensland and Australia...
Yes.
...is what Freddie mentioned, which got my attention. They want to play for their jersey and for their teammates.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought, hang on, freaking... replicate that, we're in the ballpark.
And that's not easy to do, just because of you say it doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. So there you go. Phil the Dragon sends this in too. Hi, boys. Hats off to the Gillaroos and the Kiwis. What a great game. The improvement in the school level is extraordinary. They go hard, the girls, don't they? Mm. They
I missed
smash
most of that game, but I saw the highlights.
Oh, right. And then there's someone else who sent it in, and I can't quite find it at the moment. They talked about at least the girls play the ball correctly.
Yeah, I did read that one, yeah. Is that
and it's a great point. It's such a little thing, but if you want to get the enthusiast and the traditionalist, if you want to get them offside, don't enforce the play the ball. Mm. I know it's only a small thing, Ray.
Mm. I know it drives you mad.
Well, it doesn't drive me mad. I just think, well, if you don't do that, what else do you let go?
Very good point.
You know, where are your standards? Where are they set? You know, and all you do is say, you send out a memo at the start of the year, and apparently they're going to get together, and this is what they're going to do, because who is it? Michael Maguire is looking at taking over as Tony Archer, and Tony Archer pushed sideways. Michael Maguire would be in charge of the referees. I got a feeling that if you started with that, it's a really good starting point.
No, I agree. You'll also agree with this call from Marcus. Boys, I could not disagree more with the bloke that praised Channel 7 for its coverage of the Rugby League World Cup. I thought the coverage and commentary was ordinary at best, and that is being generous.
That's from Marcus. The production of the commentary was pretty ordinary as well, too. Producer Jeremy was working on
that. I thought the production was outstanding.
Did you think the production was good? Yeah, you have... We have been the start. What makes your Sunday best? See, that's a recording of me not quite getting it right on a Sunday morning.
Panel operator, Hamish, that was brilliant.
And whenever I ever go up, producer
peace
Jeremy.
And love, peace and love.
There you go.
That was very, very clever. Briefly inserted, as you would say, Jim.
So when you blokes go on about one team, why is it that I'm left out of that team?
You're not. You're part of it, Jimmy. You're one
well,
team.
If I was part of one,
if
I was part of one team, why was that played? Yeah, the that's right. I think producer Jeremy is right. I am the whipping boy of this team. The whipping boy today, from a caller point of view, is not Andrew. Andrew's our winner today.
He's the man.
He made mention of Roger Bannister v John Landy as our
very,
great
very
clashes head to head, Australia and England.
Out of left field, wasn't it?
It was not what we were thinking after all those great rugby league games and cricket games and the cycling. And
but they've made movies out of that, written books about it. It actually gripped the world, that 4-minute barrier race to break it.
So big thank you to Arthur and the team out there at ANZ Stadium. 4 centreline seats to the Wanderers v Sydney FC match. It's a double header. It's on Saturday, December 9. That's next
and
Saturday.
I can confirm they are fantastic seats.
Yeah, you can. You don't even have to pay for anything there, apparently. You get food, your drinks and everything. It's absolutely outstanding. So, look, coming up on Racing HQ, a full preview from Newcastle with Gary Harley and Gary Cleese. Looks at grass.